Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Of the Word of God. And turn with me to the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke and chapter number 8. The Gospel record of Luke and chapter number 8. And the Gospel record of Luke chapter number 8, what we find here is a historical account of Jesus' earthly ministry. And the account that we're going to read to you is not a fairy tale. It's not something that was dreamed up. This is something that really happened. And what we're going to do is something a little bit more unusual, is that we're going to study a man by the name of Jairus. And we're going to take some time, and we want to examine the situation and the events that are folding under his perspective. Looking at it through Jairus' eyes, let's feel the emotions of Jairus. Let's go with him and travel and see his thought process. Let's go with him and see as Jesus Christ wants to do amazing work in Jairus in a way that he wouldn't even believed it if you would have told him beforehand. Notice with me in the Gospel record of Luke chapter number 8. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 8. Notice with me starting at verse number 40. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, the Word of God says this. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house. For he had one daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Someone had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, and saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Gospel record of Luke, chapter number 8? The Gospel record of Luke, chapter 8. And notice with me in verse number 40. Luke 8, verse 40. Notice this. The people gladly received him. The people gladly received him. And if you don't mind, we're going to preach a message on this, that the people gladly received him. Specifically, we're going to be looking at the life of Jairus and his perspective during these events. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come and read this historical account, give us wisdom and give us understanding of what's going on. As we take our time to look at Jairus' perspective, let us relate to him. Let us see what he's feeling and put ourselves in his position and see what we would be feeling, so we can examine ourselves, that we can understand what you are doing in his life. that we understand the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but so where it stops. That you are God who knows what he's doing at all times. Help us to trust you even more. We love you. Fill me with your precious spirit, and you do your work tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we start this historical account out, the first thing I want to bring your attention to is a desperate father. A desperate father. And we understand this desperate father because he has a dying daughter. A desperate father with a dying daughter. One of the things about desperation is it brings us to the end of ourselves. Have you ever been desperate? Have you been at the place where there's no way out? There was been so desperate that you just felt you would almost do anything. This, that helpless feeling that you have, you're desperate to cling to anything that may work. Well, this is exactly where Jairus, the father, was at. Notice this desperate father as we pick it up. Let's start in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. So here we go. We start off with this man by Jairus. Now, Jesus has come into the land, and the people gladly received him, and they were waiting for him. So the people found out where Jesus was going to be at, and the people waited. They were prepared for him. Meanwhile, there was a man by the name of Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. Now remember, the synagogue was the Jewish teaching centers. So he was in charge of one of the Jewish teaching centers. What does that mean? He was someone who knew the Bible. He was someone who knew the Old Testament scriptures. This wasn't someone who wasn't unchurched. This would be someone that we would say in our equivalent, a church person. He was faithful to the synagogue. He was faithful where he was at. He was trying to serve. And he had heard about Jesus. And when he heard, it just coincided that here's his daughter. Jairus' daughter is dying. She's sick and lay a dying. Notice with me in verse 42. For he had one daughter about 12 years of age. You know, it's one thing to happen to an adult, but here's a 12-year-old girl. A 12-year-old girl that lay a dying, the Bible says. She's laying a dying. And so Jairus has been stroking the hair of his daughter, feeling her cheek, seeing the temperature, brokenhearted, weeping over her as she's getting paler, as she's getting weaker, as she's getting in and out of consciousness. She's not eating as much. He's watched his daughter die. They've had the physicians in. He's had prayer meetings. He's done everything he can. And his daughter is dying still. Then he hears that Jesus Christ is coming back to town. And so he knows what he needs to do. He needs to get to Jesus. So he finds out the crowd is meeting Jesus. He pushes through the crowd and he falls down at Jesus' feet. And he tells Jesus, the other gospel records gives the account, that he says, my daughter's dying, come with me back home. Now again, here's a desperate father. He needs to get Jesus to his daughter. But now, everything starts to get in the way. We'll get into that in just a second. But we come to the idea of desperation. You know, there's a truth that if we come to a place where we could take it or leave it, we usually leave it. If it's not that big of a deal, we just walk away from it. God uses desperation where we have to have Jesus. We need Jesus. Jesus has to do something. We have to have him. Or it's not going to work. Another thing that we recognize through the scriptures as we're building up here is that there are some things that we cannot see in our life that others can see very clearly. Do you know that Jesus knows what you need? Even when you don't know what you need? You may think you need something, but God says, nope, you need something else even more. And so for Jairus, he thinks his biggest need is for his daughter to be healed. If he doesn't get Jesus to his daughter soon. Now, this isn't just in a matter of days. He knows that his daughter is taking her last breaths. You imagine what a heartbreak it would be, what a desperation. His daughter's dying. She's gasping. And then he hears Jesus is there. He chooses to leave his daughter as she's taking her last breaths with the hope that he could get to Jesus in time. If I could just get to Jesus in time. If I could just get him over her. It's not that she's going to die in a couple years. She's got a matter of hours. And he must get Jesus to her or it's going to be too late. But do you know that wasn't his biggest need? He thought that was his biggest need. He was now desperate. But God is using desperation to get a hold of this man's life. What Jesus did is he touched the most precious thing on earth to Jairus in order to give Jairus something better. That's what God was doing. Someone said, I wasn't ready to receive what Jesus gave me until I became desperate. Until I became desperate. So we find ourselves in the gospel record of Luke chapter number 8. And we're seeing this account of Jairus from his perspective. He has a daughter that's dying. And she's not a couple months from death. She's hours from death. She is in her last several breaths. Jairus hears that Jesus has come and he is rushed, pushed the crowd. Can you imagine? He probably strong-armed. He probably offended some people trying to get to Jesus, push him out of the way, fell down at Jesus' feet, told him what had happened. Come with me. Come with me. But now the problem is that everyone's there. The Bible talks about in the gospel record of Mark that they were full of the press. That so many people were there that they were pressing on each other, squeezing on each other. So here's Jairus trying to get Jesus to his daughter, and the crowd's in the way. This crowd's in the way. Imagine his desperation levels rising up, that he's in a hurry now. I'm trying to get Jesus there, and everyone's in my way. Now, as you look at Jairus' perspective, do you think he was really concerned with anyone else? Do you think he was really caring about what others thought, what others felt like, what others' needs were? No, they were just in his way from what needed to be done. He was desperate. And every crowd is an annoyance. Every line is an inconvenience. I need to get there. This is in my way. Get out of my way. And he's trying to, in my mind's eye, he's got Jesus by the hand. And he's trying to bully his way through the crowd. And yet the crowd is trying to, Jesus is there. They want to touch him. They want to see him. They want to look at him. And he's trying to get past the crowd as everyone wants to see Jesus. We start off by seeing a desperate father with a dying daughter. Which now brings us to a second thing, a divine delay. A divine delay. Now, think about this little girl. She'd only lived 12 years. That's it. 12 years. That's not a lot of time for a little girl to be alive. But notice there's someone else in this crowd now. Verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. Now, what is this? This is a lady who is having a bleeding problem that won't stop. And it has been that way for 12 years. This lady has had a medical problem going on as long as that little girl's been alive. Here is another lady who is desperate. She's seen the physicians. She's done all the things that she could think of. And yet she still has this issue of blood. This blood still won't stop flowing. She is stuck. And she is desperate. And so whereas Jairus came down and fell down, this woman looks at what she has done. Verse 43. And the woman of issue of blood, which spent all her living upon the physicians. Here is a lady that spent everything she could to go to every doctor, every wise man, every shaman, anybody looking for an answer. She spent all of her money. It is gone. And all the physicians gave her the same answer. It could not be healed. Can't be healed. We've done what we could. It's not going to be healed. Verse 43. So this woman came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. So here's this lady. She's trying to go through the crowd. Now again, imagine this big massive throng. She is trying to sneak behind. She's not trying to be noticed. She's just trying to, excuse me, pardon me, trying to squeeze through, ducking through with the idea, if I could just touch his garment, that's all I need. If I could just touch him. So she just reaches out in the crowd, pushes through, just gets a hand through and just touches the hem of his garment. And immediately she's healed. For 12 years, she's had this issue of blood. And just the touch of that garment, and immediately the blood stops. She is healed. It's no longer a problem. This thing that's plagued her for 12 years is gone. Now, she just thought she could touch him and sneak away, but that's not to be so. Notice verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So now let's go back to Jairus. Jairus is pulling Jesus through the crowd. The crowd is thick and massive. Everyone's around. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. Imagine Jairus trying to pull Jesus more. Come on! And Jesus stopped. Who touched me? And everyone looks around and said, I didn't touch him. No, I didn't do it. Did you? No, no. And now the whole crowd's like denying it. Think of Jairus. Who cares? Let's go. This isn't important. But Jesus, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples are all scratching their head. Finally, they said, Master, everyone's here. Everyone touched you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's touched you. You're trying to, they all want a piece of you. And Jesus said, somebody had touched me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. This idea of virtue here carries the idea of miracle power. Someone had trusted Jesus by faith, and the miracle power went out. And he says, I want to find out who received the miracle. I want to know who was just healed. You think Jairus cares who just got healed? He doesn't care about anybody right now. He wants to get Jesus to his daughter. Now Jesus is stopping. No, don't stop. Come on. Who touched me? No, don't care. Come on. The disciples are, who? Everyone touched you. Look, listen to them. Let's go. No, no, no. Virtue came out of me. Someone just got healed. Who got healed? Finally, this lady speaks up at verse 47. And when the woman saw she was not hid. Now that means that she was trying to hide. Some of you who don't like crowds, that would be you. As everyone's saying, who touched me, this lady's trying to become smaller and smaller and hide in the crowd, trying to disappear. And finally, when she realized that Jesus is not moving until she speaks up. Now again, how long would it take for you, for some of you shy people, to finally speak up? And here's Jairus, who cares? Let's go. But Jesus had something important to do. And so the lady speaks up finally when she realizes she's not hid and came down trembling, falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Trembling, speaking in front of everyone, everyone staring at her, Jairus glaring at her. It was me. 12 years I've had this issue of blood, and I just figured if I could just touch the hem of his garment that he'd be healed. Now again, she was nervous, she was trembling, probably had to get the words out, and Jairus is impatiently waiting patiently. Come on, lady, let's go, just spit it out, let's go. He's desperate, and this lady's in the way. Why are we stopping? This isn't important. Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Jesus stops and commends her faith. The whole crowd's watching this lady as this lady is now backing away, and the whole crowd's watching. Jesus is watching her walk away. Finally, Jesus turns around. Jairus, let's go. Come on. We see this divine delay, which was God ordered. But then we come to the idea of a diseased woman. Notice this, if you don't mind. In verse number 48. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler's house, saying unto him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. And so, just as Jairus says, all right, let's get this going again, one of his servants came in and said, Don't bother the master, she's dead. Can you imagine what he's feeling right now? If it wasn't for this woman, we could have got there in time. My house is right there. If it wasn't for this crowd, if it wasn't for this, it would have been too late. Can you imagine how crestfallen? His desperation is now evaporated, just left with emotions. He's got to sort this out. His daughter's dead. His world is dead. If it wasn't for these delays, if it wasn't for this, and if it wasn't for this, things didn't work out the way that he thought it should have worked out. But notice now, verse 50, But when Jesus heard it, he and answered, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So Jesus turns around and says, Just believe. But Jesus, you don't understand, it's all over. Just believe. But Jesus, you don't understand, it can't be fixed now. Just believe. But you don't understand. I'm ruined. Just believe. But you don't understand. Just believe. Just believe. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to come in except Peter, James, and John. So here's the crowd out there. Peter, Jesus says, Nope. You, Peter, James, and John, let's go in with the mom and father. And they look at the girl. And you can imagine that here's Peter, James, and John. They're trying to be quiet watching Jesus work. The father goes in and probably rushes to the little girl and begins to sob. Notice with me verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in except for Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. That carries the idea that it's not just sobbing, but it's the howling sobbing. Why, God, no, my girl, my world, no. And they're wailing and they're crying. The mother just sobbing uncontrollably. The father with passion and anger. We could have made it. We were almost there. Feeling the idea that it was lost. Jesus interrupts the weeping and says, Weep not, she is not dead, but they're sleeping. And they laughed at him to scorn. So here's the father. He was so desperate. You ever have your emotions turn on someone? When someone's full of emotions and full of passions, those emotions don't turn off like a switch. But sometimes they're redirected. Here's this man who is full of desperation and he's weeping and wailing. And then Jesus has the audacity to say, She's not dead. What do you mean she's not dead? What are you, stupid? You blind? Look, she's dead. And laughing at him, mocking him. Now again, he'll probably regret that one later. But his passions, you know, emotions make you do things that don't make sense. Emotions make you do crazy things. Notice what happens. Verse 51. And he put them all out. He says, All right, get out of the way. So they laugh at him and they scorn and they mock him. And he says, Get out of the way. And he takes her by the hand and says, Maid, arise. And her spirit came in and she arose straightway and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. Think about this. They were astonished. They were amazed. What happened is that Jairus, because he was so concerned about his own needs, he couldn't be happy about the lady being healed. This delay was ordered by God, but he didn't recognize it was ordered by God. Now let me tell you, what was a bigger miracle to witness? Someone being healed from a sickness or someone being risen from the grave? Someone being risen from the dead is a bigger miracle. You understand that there's sometimes that God allows things to get worse so he could prove to you that he is God over all. Because he's that great of a God. You understand that there's sometimes that God puts delays in our life. I don't understand why it's taking him so long. Do you ever realize that God doesn't work off our time schedule? He has his own plan, his own timing. And he knows what he's doing. God is not a senile old man who forgets about you. He doesn't forget about your problems, and he doesn't forget about your issues. He's not someone who procrastinates and is trying to push the snooze button a couple more times. We have a God who knows what he's doing. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Implied in that, not only the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but so are his stops. Do you know that God orders our stops as well as our steps? God knows what he's doing. Here's a man who is desperate. And because of his desperate, everyone was in his way. Now, again, put himself, we could empathize with him. Does it make it right? No, he could have trusted the master. Jesus was never late. Jesus knew what he was doing the whole time. It was him that was desperate. You ever get so impatient and everyone's in your way and everybody else doesn't seem to be concerned? Why can't? Jesus knows what he's doing. It was Jairus that was upset. When the woman got healed, that's a big miracle. But he couldn't even rejoice in someone else's good fortune because he was so centered on his own self that he missed God's blessing. Imagine what it would be like to watch someone get healed. Wouldn't you like to be there to watch someone get healed? He was there and he didn't enjoy it because he was concerned with his own self. What is God teaching him now? What is he getting through? He's trying to teach him that Jairus, that Jesus knows what he's doing. Can you trust him? You know, if we had our way, we'd have everything fixed with a snap of our finger. But God doesn't work that way because he's trying to teach us. You know, it's not the end result that's as important as how we get there. God's watching our attitudes. He's watching our thought process. He's watching our emotions. When he goes back and Jairus was put on trial here, Jairus, did you pass your test? What would his answer have to be if he was honest? No, he messed up. He didn't trust the Lord. He got impatient. But God knows what he's doing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so are his stops. Why did God allow this to happen? Because God is trying to teach Jairus that he needed something more than just healing for his daughter. He needed to trust the Lord. Sometimes God allows situations, and the lesson that he's teaching us is bigger than I need money for my car payment. Sometimes it's a little bit more than I just need a clear head, my allergies. Sometimes God is trying to teach us something a little bit more than God will provide. It's that God is trustworthy at all times. At all times. And because God ordered the steps, a bigger miracle occurred than just healing, raising from the grave. Our God's not limited. Do you know that God can make things worse just to show that he can make things better? And that God knows that us, that a lot of times we don't seek him like we should until we get desperate. And God knows how to use desperation to bring us to the place where we're not trying to get someone else fixed or something else fixed. But realize that God is trying to do something to me. He's trying to teach me that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so are his stops. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.